Good morning all, and welcome to Laindon Baptist Church online. We just praise God for a lovely morning and pray that he will be with us this day. So we will start the morning with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for your love. We thank and praise you for the care that you give to us, Lord, and pray you'll be with us this day. Help us to walk in your light. Help us to know you closer and to show your love to other people as we go about our lives. Help us, Lord, and strengthen us in all that we do. And we ask this all in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. We can start our hymn with a lovely one called Colours of Day. I don't like this one. It encourages us to go out and speak God's message. And it's Colours of Day.
The sun has come up, the night is behind. Go down in the city, into the street, and let's give the message to the people we meet. So light up the fire and let the flame burn. Open the door, let Jesus return. Take seed of his spirit, let the fruit grow. Tell the people of Jesus, let his love show. Go through the park, on into the town. The sun still shines on, it never goes down. The light of the world is risen again. The people of darkness are needing a friend. So light up the fire and let the flame burn. Open the door, let Jesus return. Take seed of his spirit, let the fruit grow. Tell the people of Jesus, let his love show. Open your eyes, look into the sky. The darkness has come, the sun came to die. The evening draws on, the sun disappears. But Jesus is living, his spirit is near. So light up the fire and let the flame burn. Open the door, let Jesus return. Take seed of his spirit, let the fruit grow. Tell the people of Jesus, let his love show. So light up the fire and let the flame burn. Open the door, let Jesus return. Take seed of his spirit, let the fruit grow. Tell the people of Jesus, let his love show.
I'd like to share with you a short reading from Matthew 5:14-15. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. Jesus is the light of the world, and his light shines in us. We are not meant to keep it hidden. We are meant to let his light shine out of all we do. We let it shine for all to see. In all we say, in every action that we have, must not be afraid to show people our light, for we must be bold and brave. that isn't always so easy when you're being mocked and rejected and hurt for your faith. But we mustn't keep our light hidden. Jesus instructs us not to. We must shine out his love within our hearts for all to see, so that they will know that we are Christians by our love and that we can follow him. But first of all, we must seek ye first the kingdom of God, and then all these things will follow. As you can gather, our next hymn is going to be Seek Ye First the Kingdom of God.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Alleluia, 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 alleluia. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Alleluia, 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 alleluia. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Alleluia, 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 alleluia. If the sun shall set you free, ye shall be freed indeed. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Hallelujah, hallelujah. See your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Alleluia, alleluia. Paths. In all the ways acknowledge him. Alleluia, alleluia.
Join together in prayer. We'll leave little gaps for people that you may know who needs your prayer personally. as Lord knows everybody, but sometimes it's nice to bring names to him. We pray at this time for people who are sick. Lord, there's so many people sick with the coronavirus, so many people sick with various forms of cancer. Lord, we praise you that you have healing power, that you can heal cancer, you can heal the coronavirus, you can stop the coronavirus. But Lord, we just pray for your healing hands to be upon those that we know who have either coronavirus or cancer. Heal them, touch their lives, Lord. And we pray for any other type of illness. Lord, there's too many to mention, really. There's various forms of disabilities and, say, arthritis and ME and a lot of dysfunctional things that make people's life very difficult, very crippling with pain. Heavenly Father, we lift these people before you. Lord, you can heal all. You can touch their lives and ease their pain, Lord. And we ask that you will do this in your holy name. Amen. We also pray for those who are just in need of any feeling of your love, Lord. Just in need of feeling you close to them. To know that you are there. We know you don't go anywhere, Lord, but we sometimes drift off. So, Lord, just put your loving arms around them. Hold them close. Love them. And help them to know that you're there and loving them. We pray for countries that are in turmoil. Places like Yemen, Lord, and so many other places that where there's wars and strife, diseases and disasters. Lord, we pray for your world. We pray for your Holy Spirit to be upon your world. Lord, we pray that you will reach into our hearts, reach into the hearts of many, to bring peace to these countries that are in turmoil, to bring peace to the hearts of those who are suffering, Lord, in any way, shape or form in this world. Let them know you're there. Let them feel your presence. And may the Holy Spirit of God be upon these countries. We pray for India, Lord, particularly now that it's so bad out there with the coronavirus. Lord, we pray that people are recovering from it. But we also pray that there will be more vaccines going into the country, more things to be able to help the people overcome, medications and respirators. Lord, just pray for them. And pray for a stop to this virus. It keeps mutating into different things, Lord. Lord, I know that you are in control of all things, and this is a really nasty one, Lord, so we really pray that you'll put an end to it so the world can get back to normal. So whatever plan you have for us will be fulfilled, Lord. Pray for our government where they have to make a serious decision about whether the lockdown ends, Lord, and how far we go to allowing people complete freedom. Lord, pray they will make the right decisions. Pray there will be people in government that will listen to your word. It will open their ears to hearing what you're saying, Lord, and act upon it, not to be afraid. To speak out for you, Lord. We pray for the people who, if we do come out of lockdown, Lord, that it seems so strange to be able to have a bit of freedom after so long with restrictions. Lord, help us not to go silly. Help us to be sensible. And help us, Lord, to be able to control this virus. And we pray for ourselves, Lord, as we try to go forward in you. Give us a strength, Lord, to carry on. Give us a strength to speak your word. Give us a strength to proclaim the message of your hope and your love. Not necessarily standing on street corners, Lord, but we know we can do this in just how we are in the lives we lead. And we just praise and thank you for that, Lord. Now we join together in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Just thank you. We're going to sing our next chorus now, which is Be Bold, Be Strong, because we've got to be bold and strong in God. So, be bold, be strong.
Be bold, be strong, for the Lord your God is with you. Be bold, be strong, for the Lord your God is with you. I am not afraid, no, oh no. I am not dismayed, not me, cause I'm walking in faith and victory. Come on and walk in faith and victory, for the Lord your God is with you. Be bold, be strong, for the Lord your God is with you. Be bold, be strong, for the Lord your God is with you. I am not afraid, oh no, no. I am not dismayed, not me, cause I'm walking in faith and victory. Come on and walk in faith and victory, for the Lord your God is with you.
And Debbie's going to now have the Bible reading, which is Esther 4, verses 1 to 17.
Esther chapter 4. When Mordecai learned of all that had been done, he tore his clothes, put on sackcloth and ashes, and went out into the city, wailing loudly and bitterly. But he only went as far as the king's gate, because no one clothed in sackcloth was allowed to enter it. In every province to which the edict and order of the king came, there was great mourning among the Jews, with fasting, weeping and wailing. Many lay in sackcloth and ashes. When Esther's eunuchs and female attendants came and told her about Mordecai, she was in great distress. She sent clothes for him to put on instead of his sackcloth, but he would not accept them. Then Esther summoned Hathach, one of the king's eunuchs assigned to attend her, and ordered him to find out what was troubling Mordecai and why. So Hathach went out to Mordecai in the open square of the city, in front of the king's gate. Mordecai told him everything that had happened to him, including the exact amount of money Haman had promised to pay into the royal treasury for the destruction of the Jews. He also gave him a copy of the text of the edict for their annihilation, which had been published in Susa, to show Esther and explain it to her. And he told him to instruct her to go into the king's presence, to beg for mercy and plead with him for her people. Hathach went back and reported to Esther what Mordecai had said. Then she instructed him to say to Mordecai, "All the king's officials and all the people of the royal provinces know that any man or woman who approaches the king in the inner court without being summoned, the king has but one law, that they be put to death, unless the king extends the gold scepter to them and spares their lives. But in But 30 days have passed since I was called to go to the king. When Esther's words were reported to Mordecai, he sent back his answer. Do not think that because you are in the king's house, you alone of all Jews will escape. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, but you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this? Then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai, Go, gather together all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, nights or day. I and my attendants will fast as you do. When this is done, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went away and carried out all of Esther's instructions.
Thank you, Debbie. Now we're going to sing a hymn which Shelley has chosen to go with her sermon, and it's I Danced in the Morning, The Lord at a Dance. One of my personal favourites is.
I danced in the morning when the world was begun. I danced in the moon and the stars and the sun. And I came down from heaven and I danced on the earth. I bathed me, then I had my birth. Dancing wherever you may be, I am the Lord of the dance, said he. And I'll lead you all wherever you may be, and I'll lead you all in the dance, said he. I danced for the scribe and the Pharisee, but they would not dance and they would not follow me. I danced for the fishermen, for James and John. They came with me and the dance went on. Dancing wherever you may be, I am the Lord of the dance, said he. And I'll lead you all wherever you may be, and I'll lead you all in the dance, said he. I danced on the Sabbath and I cured the lame. The holy people said it was a shame. They whipped and they stripped and they hung me on high and left me there on the cross to die. Dancing wherever you may be, I am the Lord of the dance, said he. And I'll lead you all wherever you may be, and I'll lead you all in the dance, said he. Danced on a Friday when the sky turned black. It's hard to dance with the devil on your back. They buried my body and they thought I'd gone. But I am the dance and I still go on. Dancing wherever you may be, I am the Lord of the dance, said he. And I'll lead you all wherever you may be, and I'll lead you all in the dance, said he. They cut me down and I leapt up high. I am the life that'll never, never die. I'll live in you if you live in me. I am the Lord of the dance, said he. Dancing wherever you may be, I am the Lord of the dance, said he. And I'll lead you all wherever you may be, and I'll lead you all.
Having spent months soaking myself in stories, films, the Bible reading and prayer about this book, I'm now finding it hard to separate the girl, the woman and the queen that Esther has become in my mind from what the scriptures say of her. The scriptures don't tell anything of her growing up or of her growing old, and nothing really in much detail of in between. What we do know is this. Historically, records show Xerxes was king for 21 years. Esther was a virgin, and after some 17 years of marriage, Xerxes is replaced on the throne by Vashti's son. but Darius II, Esther's son, was also crowned king sometime after. Through scripture, we know that Vashti was deposed in the third year of Xerxes' reign. We have no idea how old Esther was. Most commentators suggest she was not yet betrothed. Therefore, she was probably not yet 16. She spent a year of oils and scents between her move to the palace and being presented to the king in the seventh year of his reign. During the 4 years between, it's widely suggested in histories that Xerxes mounted a failed military campaign to Greece to avenge the death of his father. We have been studying prayer over recent months, and one prayer that has struck me through this time is, Lord, let them grow in wisdom, stature, and favour. It is scriptural, as it is what we see of the young Jesus in the Gospel of Luke. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favour with God and man. However, it's also what we see of Esther. Orphaned young, she lives with her cousins in a reverent Jewish home. She is loved, raised as their own daughter, and taught to be a good Jewess. She is then taken from her home, around about 16, probably against her will, to endure pampering for a 12-month period, with the knowledge that at the end of that period, her body is to be given to the king and no other man will ever be allowed to touch her. All this while hiding her background and her faith in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, as commanded by her cousin Mordecai. But could you really stay against your will whilst undergoing 12 months of pampering? Laying in until all hours, languid baths, perfumed massages, lazy afternoons by the pool in the sunshine, feasting on the palace kitchen's choicest morsels and sweetmeats, along with the implied access to the king's wealth and jewels, silks and satins, and as many mani-pedis and hairdos as she wants, whilst she is prepared to be presented to the king. I imagine some mixture of education under Mordecai and the palace eunuchs would have been exactly what the king saw when she was brought before him. Meekness combined with self-confidence, thoughtfulness combined with a way of making it seem that to serve him was alone her desire. Wisdom and understanding combined with a compassion that made her interactions with her king seem so natural that she probably fell in love with him quite quickly, even if at the beginning of their relationship she was a virgin and, as many commentators believe, was probably raped as she was technically taken for a test drive before marriage was proposed. Or did they just fall in love because her good Jewish girl training to be everything a husband could desire was as much a part of who she was as her hidden faith in the God of the Jews? We also don't know if it was days, months, or years after Esther was ensconced as queen that Mordecai uncovered the plot to kill the king. But we do know that Mordecai was given the credit and it was written down in the records of the times. We also know that sometime in the years between the 7th and the 12th years of his reign, Xerxes promoted Haman, an Agagite, which means a member of the house of Agag. He was the king of the Amalekites that God ordered annihilated when, against that command, if Israel left some alive. Haman had a hatred of the Jews that probably came from hearing the horror stories when he was growing up. Esther lives the life of a Persian queen for around 5 years after her coronation. And although we know little of her relationship with Xerxes, it seems that they fared well together. However, the relationship between Haman and Mordecai does not fare so well. After his promotion, Haman finds Mordecai not bowing to him as he passes, became more and more insulting. He eventually hatches a plan to rid himself of the Jew, and by extension, all Jews, men, women, young and old. In the 12th year of the king's reign, he convinces the king that the Jews are a threat to his kingdom's peace. Haman even offers to give 10,000 talents to the treasury. The king gives him the royal seal, tells him to keep the money, and tells him to do with the people as you please. Chapter 3, verse 11. Haman rejoices at the power given to him, and on the 13th day of the first month, he writes a decree to all of the 127 provinces that on a single day, the 13th day of the 12th month, the nations are to annihilate every Jew and plunder their goods as revenge for his people's genocide. Mordecai eventually gets his hands on a copy of this edict, and after tearing his clothes and wailing loudly and bitterly, he goes to the palace but cannot enter the gates because of his dress. Esther sends the messenger from the palace to find out what is going on. Mordecai tells him everything, including the amount of money that Haman has offered the king, and he instructs her to go to the king's presence and beg for mercy and plead with him for her people. As we heard in our reading, Hathach went back and reported to Esther what Mordecai had said. She tells Mordecai that to approach the king without being summoned could mean her death. Mordecai responds by telling her that she may be at the palace for just this reason, and if she remains silent, she will not escape death. When I read this passage, I thought about the line in Lord of the Rings where Frodo tells Gandalf he doesn't want the burden of the ring. Gandalf replies very much as Mordecai does. Frodo says, "I wish it need not have happened in my time." "So do I," said Gandalf, "and so do all who live to see such times. But that is not for them to decide. All we have to do is decide what to do with the time that is given us." Esther is pulled up sharp. She has hidden her faith for years because Mordecai instructed her and because of the danger to herself and her family. But now she's being forced again to follow Mordecai's instructions and stand up for who she is, a worshipper of the living God. No longer can she hide her faith or her light behind the facade she has built. This could be the end of her and of the Jews if she does nothing. Esther tells Mordecai to gather the Jews in Susa and fast for 3 days and nights. She will gather her attendants and do the same. When this is done, she will go to the king, even though it is against the law. And she states, "If I perish, I perish." So Esther and the Jewish people bring themselves before God in prayer with fasting. Esther then faces the king's wrath and enters the throne room uninvited. This is where the future of all the Jews takes a journey that ultimately leads us to the cross. I heard a quote in a TV program recently that really resonated with me while I wrote this. "The future is predetermined by the character of those that shape it." At this point, we have four characters that seem to stand out. Haman, raised Agagite and proud, with a complete hatred of the Jews, offers to annihilate them for 10,000 talents. Xerxes, a king who doesn't seem to have much of a mind of his own, he seems to be beguiled by Haman and then turned back around by Esther and Mordecai. Mordecai, full of faith in the one God, he saves the king's life, but he's so faithful that bowing the knee to any but God is a real no-no. Esther, a faithful queen and wife, mother to a future king, but under it all, a Jew. The parallels to Jesus in this part of the book seem quite clear to me. He was betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. He prayed to God to save him. He faced a king who could have had him killed on sight, but washed his hands of it. And they both faced their own death. Esther took the responsibility for her people so strongly, she was prepared to face death for them. Jesus took his responsibility for the world so seriously, he died a sinner's death on the cross, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Anyway, back to the story. Esther now woos the king with feast or two. She puts Haman at his ease and then blindsides him completely with the truth of who she is. Within 2 months of Haman's decree, Mordecai is in his place within the court. Haman is impaled on his own spike. The phrase, hoist by my own petard, always springs to mind when I read this. Esther is given Haman's estates and she makes Mordecai the overseer of all of her holdings. The king makes Mordecai prince regent over the 127 provinces, and he tells Mordecai to send out another decree as he wishes that enables the Jews to fight back. The Jews celebrate their freedom in the third month, in which much partying and feasting took place. Many people became Jews as a result of their fear, and their respect for Esther and her people grew. They create a feast in Esther's honour, and to this day the Feast of Purim is celebrated in late February, early March every year in Jewish homes across the world. The Jews have 9 months to prepare for Haman's edict, and they do. And in the 12th month, although they kill roughly 26,000 of Haman's men across the land, they do not touch the plunder. Esther and Xerxes live for approximately another 9 years, and she gives him a son who becomes Darius II, who approves the rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem. In conclusion, Esther is a story of faith hidden, of light shining in the darkness, of redemption, and ultimately of grace. As Christ went to the cross for the world, Esther went to her knees before God for her people. So how do we learn from this, and how do we transfer that to our own lives? Do we hide our faith or be who we are? Do we trust God to be the answer? Do we pray and fast when things seem bleak? Do we trust other Christians to pray with us? None of this seems easy when we are in the thick of it. But our first stop always needs to be prayer. Talk to God. Let him know your problems. Let him show you the way forward. And because you are a child of the Most High God, know he loves you. Let us pray. Father God, thank you for this record of Esther. Help us to learn from it. Thank you for Jesus and the cross. Help us to come before it. As we go forward in the coming days, help us to seek your will for our lives and for the world about us. Help us not to be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, help us present our requests to you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, amen. And now for our final hymn, we sing to our God, the one true God. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty.
Adore.
sing. Cherubim and seraphim falling down before thee, moon and dawn and evermore shall be. Holy, 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 though the darkness hide thee, though the eye of sinful man thy glory may not see.
Just have our closing prayer. Heavenly Father, we just praise and thank you that you are with us this day. Praise you that this day has gone the way you want it to go, Lord. We pray that the remainder of the day will go how you want it to go, Lord. Strengthen us in your power. Strengthen us in your love. And let us know your closeness, your strength. And help us to be brave and be bold. And we join together in the grace. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Thank you for joining us this morning, and we hope to see you later on Zoom for our get together, which we would normally do after church, but we do it on Sunday. Bye.